Time will come. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to our first session of this new program, A Time Will Come. A Time Will Come refers to a theme mentioned in certain prophetic traditions where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam foretold some events which would occur near the end of time. This has a connection to the Day of Judgment. But before we continue with our main theme, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence of sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, "Send blessings upon me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send mercy upon you. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad." If we want to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one means for us is that we offer these gifts of blessings, prayers of blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Let us express our love for him sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam by expressing these supplications of blessings. Salat ala nabi, durud sharif. We waste so much time talking about things which have no concern for us. We waste so much time talking about things that do not concern us. We talk about matters which do not benefit us in this world or in the hereafter. Let us devote some time every day to sending peace and blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Once a young boy woke up in the middle of the night. He was shivering, he was scared, almost as if he did not feel like going back to sleep. Signs of sleepiness had disappeared from his face. His father, who was lying down near him, turned to him and asked him, "What's the matter? Are you feeling pain in your body? Are you in some kind of discomfort?" He said, "I'm not in any kind of discomfort. Tomorrow my teacher will test me on all the lessons of the week." He said, "Tomorrow's Thursday, and maybe Thursday was the appointed day for this testing." He said, "Tomorrow the teacher will test me on all the lessons of the week. And I'm afraid that I may not succeed. I may make mistakes. And because of those mistakes, my teacher may discipline me. And due to this fear, I've woken up like this. And it's caused me to wake up from my sleep." Viewers of Madni Channel, what happens sometimes in life, children say something to adults. Children are speaking about something in their perspective, from their perspective rather. But an adult, it triggers something in an adult. An adult is reminded of something more serious, something more important. And this was the case in this story. The father, when he heard his son say these things about his test or test in school, about being disciplined, possibly being disciplined by his teacher, the father thought about his condition and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The father was shocked and struck by the fact that his son is so concerned about a test in class. The father was thinking about his condition, that I have lost myself in heedlessness. I've become negligent. The son was thinking about the discipline that he will face if he does not succeed in the test. And the father thought about the accountability that he will face in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us reflect upon this situation. The boy was concerned about a test in this world. But we have become heedless in our test of life. Have we not been sent in this world to be tested? To see who is best in conduct? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly told us that this life is to see, our living in this world is to see whether we, our conduct, whether we behave in an appropriate way. If we behave in a way of obedience, if we adhere to the laws of Sharia, then no doubt there is hope. With the mercy of Allah we shall be rewarded. But if we don't, then we have failed in the test of life. The test of life is more important than any test that we do in this world, because it defines our destination in the hereafter, which is lasting. We try to pass to have some comfort in a temporary world, in a temporary abode. The lasting abode of the hereafter should be more of a concern for us. Another thing to consider, the boy was concerned about the discipline that he may face if he does not pass his test. If he makes mistakes, then the teacher may discipline him. And this was this actually made him wake up in the middle of the night. Do we have any fear of accountability, or do we have any kind of reflection in terms of the severity of the punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to those who disobey? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Inna batsha rabbika la shadid." Verily, indeed, the seizing of your Lord is severe. We may think that we are living in comfort and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not seized us in this world. It is just respite until that moment. And when sinners shall be seized, they'll cry out and express a request in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would want to go back to their lives. They would want to have a moment to prostrate. They would want to have a moment so that they may spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But their time will be up. So now it is time to do something. Now it is time to reflect upon the severity of punishment, torment that may be faced if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disobeyed. The child was afraid and worried about some mistakes that he may make in his test. Do we even think about our sins, our erroneous ways, our transgressions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings. We don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated the condition, the general condition of mankind. Man is ungrateful to his Lord. But if we want more blessings from Allah, then we should express gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will be grateful if he remembers and realizes that despite all these transgressions, despite disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many times in a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to allow us the blessings of this world. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more blessings, increases our blessings. We have so many reasons to be grateful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something you can do: take a book and a pen and write down whatever you can remember, or as you're doing things during the day, write it down. If you want to narrow it down even more, if you make a mistake or something which may be considered to be sinful, write it down or make note of it. You said something that you shouldn't have said. You saw something which you shouldn't have seen. Or you had some feelings, you were harboring some hatred in your heart, jealousy, whatever it was. Make note of it. By the end of the day, you will be shocked, or you may be shocked, by how many times you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reflection is very important. If we don't think about our sins, we'll start to think that we're good people. And that is the trick of shaitan. When you think that you are pious and you have done enough to attain salvation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is actually the beginning of your doom. The awliya, rahimahumullah, never considered themselves to be free from the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. despite their nights in voluntary worship, they would still fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about transgressions and sins, and would have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would not express confidence in their deeds, which were great deeds, deeds that we give examples of today. Today we have no deeds, and yet we have the apparent confidence that we shall attain salvation. What kind of lives are we living? Let us reflect. Is it not the case that we have become lost in the love of this world and we have forgotten the hereafter? Is it not the case that we've lost ourselves in striving to attain the wealth of this world? It's an insatiable desire. We're working more and more and more. Not because we need to, not necessarily because we need to, but it's a desire that we can't fulfill. Now I would like to move on to the main focal hadith narration of today's session. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, سَيَأْتِي زَمَانٌ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي. A time will soon come upon my nation. يُحِبُّونَ خَمْسًا. People will love five things. وَيَنْسَوْنَ خَمْسًا. And they will forget five things. I'll mention each of the five things first, and then we will expound on each of these points. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam continued to say, يُحِبُّونَ الدُّنْيَا وَيَنْسَوْنَ الْآخِرَةِ. People will love this world and they will forget the hereafter. وَيُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ وَيَنْسَوْنَ الْحِسَابِ. The people will love wealth, riches, but they will forget about accountability. وَيُحِبُّونَ الْخَلْقَ وَيَنْسَوْنَ الْخَالِقِ. The people will love creation and they will forget the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُحِبُّونَ الذُّنُوبَ وَيَنْسَوْنَ التَّوْبَ. The people will love sin. They love sins, transgressions, and they will forget repentance. وَيُحِبُّونَ الْقُصُورَ وَيَنْسَوْنَ الْمَقْبَرَ. The people will love big buildings, tall buildings, mansions, but they will forget the graveyard. Going back to the first of the five things mentioned in this narration, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, يُحِبُّونَ الدُّنْيَا. The people will love this world. Love of this world is the root of sin. We know this from prophetic traditions. How can we expect to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are chasing a world about which our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that it has less significance than a dead she-goat has for the master of that she-goat? It doesn't even have that much significance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't even have the significance of the wing of a mosquito. This is how insignificant this world is in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine now, for something so insignificant in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people are leaving the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are leaving their obligations for something which in our history, in our tradition, has been described as something insignificant, something which should not be loved. A companion once came to the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. There are various narrations which vary, similar narrations. He said, could you direct me to a deed or guide me to a deed which will enable which may lead to Allah loving me and the people loving me as well. So I want Allah to love me and the people to love me. This is what he wanted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, turn away from the world, meaning adopt asceticism. Show no inclination to this world, no desire for this world. Allah will love you. Show no desire or no inclination to what the people have in their hands, and the people will love you. The implication being that do not crave for what people possess, and they will love you. When people crave for what other people possess, sometimes they burn in the fire of jealousy. Sometimes it becomes a sickness in their hearts. For whatever reason, they're not able to attain what other people have. They become bitter. When we think about why people are so depressed these days, it's because they think that their targets in life, their ambitions in life, are ambitions which are confined to this world and betterment or comfort in this world. When you realize that our ambition or our goal in life should not be the comfort of this world, our goal should be to live a life that is in obedience, in accordance with the laws of Sharia, following the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Live such a life where we help people, assist people, we facilitate matters for people. When we leave this world, the people remember us for our good. When we die, people don't say, "Oh, good riddance. We hated him anyway. He was someone who was evil, someone who we felt threatened by." No, we want to live such lives that when we leave this world, the people, their hearts are filled with sadness and they long for our companionship. This can only be achieved if we try to become true believers. One way is we must turn away from this world. And what we mean by that, do not misunderstand this. The companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, they came to a stage, some of them, where they left everything, or they attempted to leave everything. And it was their desire to go into the mountains and just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, segregated from the people, not having any relation, not having any kind of relationship with their wives, and fasting continuously, adopting this level of asceticism, which meant that they had absolutely no connection with people, breaking away from people. Those companions were reminded by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in this world, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we live among the people and we fulfill the rights of people, we fulfill the rights of those who have rights over us. If we're married, that includes our wives, our children, if we have children, we fulfill the rights of other Muslims, other people around us, our neighbors. We should be people who fast and break the fast, not people who impose these restrictions upon themselves to such an extent that living becomes difficult. There is a balance in life. Islam does not make your life apparently doom and gloom. The following of Islam and the following of Sunnah has such beauty, if only it was followed the right way. People who are not following today, many of them have not made an attempt to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It's almost as if from a distance they are looking and they're saying, "Oh, we know we don't want to do that because we don't think it will benefit us." You've tried the world, you've tasted the pleasures of this world. Come and taste the pleasure of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come and experience the contentment of following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Turn away from this world. Turn away from this world and focus on the hereafter. For as the narration says, thinking about the hereafter for a moment is better than 60 years of worship. Moving on to the next point, وَيُحِبُّونَ الْمَالِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people will hoard, they'll accumulate more and more wealth. وَيَنْسَوْنَ الْحِسَابِ, and they'll forget about accountability. Accountability is a very important theme in Islam. If we talk about self-purification, there must be self-accountability. We must think about our actions and try to, in our minds, in our thinking, try to decide whether we are doing more good deeds or more bad deeds. If we have some kind of self-accountability, maybe it will save us. There is hope that we will be saved from embarrassment when we are called to account, to give account in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That accountability is the most difficult. So resort to the self-accountability that will help you and prepare you for the hereafter in this world. But hoarding wealth and gathering riches and trying to have more, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. Al-hakumut takaffur. حتى زرتم المقابر. The accumulating of wealth, the piling up, the piling of wealth diverts you until you see your graves. This is the state of the people, that they're so busy in trying to attain more that before they know it, suddenly death comes to them. They reach their graves, and the money which they have amassed, all that, all those possessions which they have accumulated, the inheritors are fighting over them. You see, because if part of that had been given in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it would have been something that was deposited for the hereafter, for benefit in the court of Allah. When you give in the way of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised an increase. You give one, you get 10, up to 700. The Quranic theme is very clear. Allah may increase even more. So what is wrong with us? Why do we withhold this wealth? Just holding on to it, not letting go. Our Prophet told us, يُحِبُّونَ الْمَالِ, because of love of wealth. It's a very interesting hadith. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he's speaking about the old man, an elderly man. A man is old, but his heart is young in terms of two things. One, the love of mal, the love of wealth. And second, long ambitions, long hopes. So even when a person ages, he reaches an old age, his hair is grey, white, still, that love of wealth, it's very strong in him. And we've seen many examples of this where people, elderly people, people say about them, they have one foot in the grave, but they don't want to part from their wealth. Not all of them, but this has been seen. Our Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's such a lure, it's such power, such temptation the love of wealth has, that even someone who seems apparently the signs of death have come, apparently physically he's feeling it, his back is crooked, he is struggling to walk, he's struggling to feed himself, struggling to eat. He is struggling for to fulfill the necessities of his living, but he can't part from his wealth. That's how powerful this love is. And he's still hoping. Before, his hope was just for himself. Now his hope is for his children, his grandchildren, maybe even his great-great-grandchildren. That's the power of long hopes. Sayyidina Hasan Basri alayhi rahmah said that when the first coin was created, Shaytan kissed it, the devil, he kissed it. And he put it on his eyes and he said, whosoever loves you is my slave. Have we become slaves to the coin? Are we slaves of the coin? Are we slaves of money? If not, then let our actions prove otherwise. Let us show ourselves, our egos, that we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are here to serve the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we show this through our actions by serving Islam, by serving those who serve Islam, by making our children serve Islam, and making them realize this is the best cause for them in life. Moving on, وَيُحِبُّونَ الْخَلْقَ وَيَنْسَوْنَ الْخَالِقِ. The people will love creation, but they will forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are trying to please, we strive in this world, we buy in this world, we do things in this world to please other people, but we're not doing things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not spending to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, they are spending to show other people that I have something better than you. You bought that, I bought something even better. This intention is sinful. One should not buy with this intention. وَيُحِبُّونَ الزُّنُوبَ وَيَنْسَوْنَ التَّوْبَ. People love sin. They will sin because they love it. And sometimes they say, we're not harming anyone. If I watch something, if I say something to my on my own, or if I watch something on my own, then it's just me. I'm not harming anyone. The fact is, our tradition teaches us that when you sin, you harm yourself, you harm your soul, you darken your heart. This is why there is no feeling of contentment, because you sin for pleasure. The pleasure goes, the sin remains, and it darkens the heart. If you do good deeds, the difficulty in doing that good deed will go, but the good deed will remain. Think about that. That fire, the fire of hell, is veiled by desires, the Prophet ﷺ said. So people, they follow their desires, and behind it, behind that veil is the fire of hell. So don't sin for pleasure. Sins will not give you true contentment. Come to the way of the Prophet ﷺ. Come to the way of deen. Live your life according to the teachings of the Sharia, and you will experience true contentment. وَيُحِبُّونَ الْقُصُورَ وَيَنْسَوْنَ الْمَقْبَرَةَ. And people will love tall buildings, mansions, but they will forget the graveyard. They'll forget death. Imam Ghazali alayhi rahma, he writes that once Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, people, a time will come when people will not exceed the age of 100, but they will build, they'll build big buildings, mansions, big houses for themselves. Are we not living in that time? Most people do not reach anywhere near the age of 100 these days, but they have this craving to build big houses for themselves. Remember, we're not talking about building a house for yourself. It is not something which is prohibited in the religion. It is about preferences in life. It is a permissible task, taking us away from an obligation, or something which may have started as permissible, it may become prohibited due to other related factors. Or something which is permissible, which may lead to heedlessness. We have to think about these things and make this decision. Is it the most important thing I can do? Is it the best way to spend my wealth, spend my time? These are questions we should be asking ourselves. Let us reflect upon the matters mentioned in this hadith. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we save ourselves from all those actions which lead to heedlessness. We prepare for the hereafter. We reflect upon the narrations about the end of times. We think about the Day of Judgment and preparation for the Day of Judgment. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
A time will come. A time will come. Time will come. A time will come.